You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dungeon, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give you information, asking for help.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
If you only knew what we talked about during the breaks. Anyway.
They don't.
Oh,
let it
gosh. Steve brought up the beans comment. I was taking a drink of water and it almost exited my nostrils. Anyway, welcome to hour number 3. This is Dave Hodges, your host. And Katie Whalen is our health chick, as we like to call her. And she is a reporter extraordinaire who has done a lot of people a lot of good, because I get the emails every day to tell me about it. One thing I want to mention, too, and we've got to cover a couple of our sponsors here real quick, too, but one of the things I wanted to mention, too, was there's a re-release going on with the movie Armageddon, and I've gotten to know the senior executive producer, Gary Haven, and wow, what a great job they have done with this movie. They have identified the issues. We talked about UN vehicles on U.S. soil. Well, the movie is in part predicated on the U.N. takeover of the U.S. military after an EMP attack. Anyway, if you go to ArmageddonTheMovie.com, you can find where it's playing, and they're going to keep targeting individual regions, concentrated, like Florida, I know, is really on the hot button right now. And if you haven't seen it, I'd go see it. Now you're saying, oh, they'll never come near me because I'm in a remote area. That's okay, because they are going to do a DVD release, and there's going to be other things where everyone who wants to see this is going to get to see it. It opened number 2 in weekend number 1. It beat out Jerry Clooney's movie.
Good.
In fact, it did so well, I don't even remember the title of Jerry Clooney's movie. I was going to go see it, but I got too busy writing reviews and promoting Armageddon, because I think it's the most important movie of our time. Anyway, I wanted to mention, too, Steve mentioned also what a great company Numana is. They are. And I'm proud to be associated with them. And if you need to add to or begin to store food, this is your place. We're offering a 5% off deal for the next few days. So if you use the coupon code DAVE5, that will do you just fine. You'll get 5% off your entire purchase price. And also, healthmasters.com. And I've mentioned them every hour. And why? Because Ted Brewer is probably keeping one or both of my feet out of the grave. And that's his company. Excuse me. And Ted Brewer has the best products. He's kept me from going under the surgeon's knife with my knee. I have a good friend who's a softball coach at a major university in the Southeast. And I was trying to just kind of subtly nudge him into Health Masters, but he's so locked into mainstream medicine, he'd rather go under the knife than take a few pills. Oh, boy. You know, and this guy's a bright guy. One of my best friends. Go back to college. Anyway, healthmasters.com. Go there. Use the coupon code DAY5. Okay? Don't be ignorant. Try the natural approach first, just like Katie did, you know, or she's close to being cancer-free, but not totally out of the woods yet. And then, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Steve Quayle again. If you've got too much of your cash in the bank, you know, keep enough to go month to month, but you need to convert the rest to something that you can use when the smoke clears from all the havoc that we're telling you is here. It's already underway. I mean, what did the market do when Brexit passed? Enough said. So make sure that you do that. And again, I want to thank our sponsors, too, from readymaderesources.com, the best in prepping. And if you don't get your night vision soon, and I mean soon, it's going to be October till you can get it. And who knows if that'll come in time. And Bob did not tell me to say that. So how do you get yours? ReadyMadeResources.com, 1-800-627-3809. Excuse me. And, of course, Steve Quayle and I are both members of Scene.life, as opposed to Facebook that spies on you, listens to you when you walk away from your computer, reports everything you do to the NSA, adds to the knowledge base, information base of your threat matrix score. Bunch of crap. Don't use Facebook. Rockefeller's grandson, come on, don't make him any richer than he already is. Go to scene.life. It's free. There's no spying. There's no censorship other than good common sense. No violence, no porno. But other than that, you can publish as much as you want. If I hit 10 posts on Facebook, they shut me down. If I talk about Hillary Clinton, they shut me down. But they'll have an Assassinate Donald Trump page up. Go to scene.life. Steve Quayle and I are proud members, and we're working on getting some other people coming in. Big names that you know. Anyway, Katie, I've taken enough time thanking our sponsors, but let's get right down to it. What's on tap for the health report?
Oh, lots of good stuff again tonight. I want to cover a couple of quick things, and then I want to get into some more intense news I want the audience to know about. But the first one is, this is from Health Net News, Erin Elizabeth. She's been covering and following the death of the holistic doctors very closely, and you can find great info from Health Net News on this topic at her site. And, by the way, it was quietly announced several weeks ago that the now famous story of Dr. Bradstreet, who died mysteriously, the holistic doctor, and his death was labeled suicide. Very quietly, it was, in fact, he was murdered. The family hired a private investigator, and it was a story kind of just slipped by, but it came out, and he was, in fact, they've now labeled it a murder. So they're going to look more into that. But Dr. Bradstreet, as most of this audience knows, was working on the reversal of autism and even cancer via the discovery of a protein called NAGLase, which he believed is introduced into the body via vaccines and or is produced by cancerous tumors. So in layman's terms, this NAGLase damages the interaction between vitamin D and our natural macrophages, which together produce a super powerful pathogen-fighting team. So we're up to about 50 doctors in recent months, and sadly, we have a few more. Cleveland Clinic doctor and libertarian presidential candidate found dead in hotel room. A prominent doctor who headed a department at the holistically minded Cleveland Clinic and a libertarian presidential candidate, until last month, was found dead Wednesday in a motel in Ohio. According to his blog, Dr. Feldman says he was against forced vaccinations, genetically modified organisms, campaign contributions. So there you go, right there.
That's my hot button.
So Dr. Mark A. Feldman, 56, of Beechwood, was found at the America's Best Value Inn Motel in the 14,000 block of Brook Park Road. The Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner Office has not released an official cause of death. So you can read more about Dr. Feldman at HealthNet News. Also, a 32-year-old holistic doctor dies of, quote, apparent heart attack at her home. Again, HealthNet News. It is with great sadness, Aaron writes, that I announce the youngest death of our over 50 doctors who've died suddenly, mysteriously, or were confirmed murdered in the last year. So the anniversary of the beginning of this nightmare was just days ago on Father's Day. It is heartbreaking that we have lost so many wonderful people, she writes, holistic doctors. Dr. Michelle Hartley died suddenly of an apparent heart attack at her Comstock Park, Michigan home Monday, June 20th. She was only 32. So we do not know any more details, she says, at this time, but are receiving messages from those who knew her. We are truly saddened, and apparently she helped so many people. So I wrote,
well,
it
sounds like the doctors need to be caring.
Yeah.
They need to look at this as they are, Steve liked to use the term high-value target. Well, they are.
Well, and that's why I want to bring this to the attention of the audience so that they can... this heightens the alert, okay? This isn't just passing. This is this is getting to critical mass. So if you go to this story, you'll see a sort of now this is interesting too. You'll see a sort of trailer. It's a trailer for a new film coming out telling the story about the holistic doctors who are mysteriously dying, which is great. This is kind of what Gary's doing, you know, just warning the public, getting it out there, using media to do it. But it's about the doctors who are dying, working on cures for diseases that drug companies do not want you to know about. Please watch the trailer. Get involved in some way. I mean, make contributions. It's your future, your health, and the truth will not be stopped. The more they try to suppress the truth, the more momentum truth gains. So please watch this. Don't let Dr. Bradstreet's story go under the radar. Don't let this murder go away with all the brave men and women who are risking all to get the truth out. I mean, boy, I tell you, it is just amazing what's happening, but the truth will find a way. So my main stories are, I found this at talknetwork.com. That's Mike Adams. Talknetwork.com. If you go there and you look up Christina England, parents are jailed for harming kids who were actually injured by vaccines. So this kind of gets into the weeds, but we'll get this. And it all made sense as I began to look into this. So I found an interview from the Richie Allen Show of a Christina England who adopted two special needs children. So their behavior was symptomatic of autism and various other problematic issues. She was accused of abusing her children, and no one bothered to look into the boys' medical history of vaccinations and behavioral issues. The decades ago, there was a diagnosis revealed by the medical community called, remember, Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
This has been, it's been called many different things, but this was back in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, when this started it showed up as a DSM, I guess. So now I'm beginning to question this disorder for me as soon as I watched this video, and then it manifested as the video progressed. So I will not go as far as saying a form of this does not exist, but it is being and has been used to cover in many cases for the medical community's use of vaccines and the terrible side effects from them on children of all ages that are boiling to the surface and being exposed. It seems that as we come out of the matrix mindset, things begin to make more sense and the pieces start to fall into place. So in this interview, Christina was having behavioral problems and physical issues with these two adopted sons. In short, it took her on a path of discovery into this possible bogus DSM to cover for the destructive side effects of vaccination, because she was accused of being responsible for her son's health issues. Hence, Munchausen by proxy. She tells her story of doctors and such pinning her son's behavior on her and not on the possible side effects of these vaccines. So she researched the children's foster parents and medical history as this played out and ended up writing a book about her findings and experience. And there are people who have done, this is amazing. There are people who have had their children taken from them or put in prison, and one even on death row who was accused of shaken baby syndrome, which from the definition of WebMD, we're going to shaken baby syndrome. Shaken baby syndrome is a brain injury that occurs when someone shakes a baby or throws a baby against an object. It is a form of child abuse. It may happen to children up to 5 years old, but it is most common in babies younger than 1 year old. Well, I'm sure the audience is following me on this one. Shaken baby syndrome often occurs when a baby won't stop crying and a caregiver loses control of his or her emotions. They're blaming it on the caregiver or the parent. Parents can prevent this problem by learning healthy ways to relieve stress and anger. I agree. Sometimes this happens, but... Am I suggesting this does not cure child abuse? No. I am suggesting that more research needs to be looked into this topic as far as distinguishing true abuse of a caregiver on a child and a possible link to the child's brain injury as a result of vaccinations, and a similar investigation into SIDS. So research suggests that SIDS is a encephalitic disorder or swelling of the lining of the brain, giving flu-like symptoms, among a host of other dangerous symptoms, including brain damage or death. So, Is it a react? So I said, including brain damage or death, others, or is it a reaction to infant vaccines? This nut needs to be cracked and given much more scrutiny and distinction. So getting back to Munchausen by proxy, which by other names was brought to the public's attention in the 80s, which came first, the massive push for vaccinations on our child population, or the DSM to cover the tracks of vaccine side effects to place blame on parents and caregivers? I'm simply asking the question. Wow. This has taken, 20, 30 years to finally come to light as soon as the vaccination dialogue opened up. Isn't that right? So,
yeah, you say you're only asking the question. In my mind, I've already answered the question.
That's where I'm assuming that the public is catching on. And if you watch this video from this Christina England, she basically is, she's leading the pack on this idea. So this what they're calling Munchausen by proxy, there's a new name now. It's called Fictitious Order Imposed on Another, or FDIA. The adult perpetrator when they don't get the response they want, they rename it. So the adult perpetrator has the diagnosis FDIA and directly produces or lies about an illness in another under his or her care. Children usually under 6 years of age. The prime vaccination age. It is considered a form of abuse by the American Professional Society on the Abuse of Children. I'm not saying this can't happen. Of course, child abuse can happen. But it's got to be looked into if you've got people in prison, you've got people on death row, it's amazing. So back to Christina England, she goes on to tell the story of a man named Robbie Robertson who was on death row for the death of his infant child who died of shaken baby syndrome. Was it child abuse? An accident? Or was this man put through hell as a result of vaccines given to his child who had an encephalitic reaction? She proves that he did not harm his child. She had lawyers working on this. She investigated it, but nonetheless, he will be in jail for life. Was it a cover-up by the medical industry for the damaging results of vaccinations? If so, this is such a travesty of justice and criminal beyond words. We simply don't know because the puzzle pieces have not been taken out of the box and put together until now with this Christina England yeoman's work on her part. So please listen to the interview and see what you think. Talk News Network. Christina England, parents are in jail for harming kids who were actually injured by vaccines. The story needs to go viral as Christina has been threatened and claimed that no one in the media will pick this story up. Shocking, I know. You can find some of her work at truthvac.com. So share this story, and let's get this rolling, because, you know, Dave, as we uncover, or as the truth begins to unveil itself in amazingly quick ways, it's real rapid. It's a tsunami of truth. This is one of those things that I didn't even think about. I knew about Munchausen by proxy. I know someone very intimately whose her daughter died of SIDS. And it's a devastating thing. And was it vaccines? I would have to guess yes. So then we go into some other stories that are tied to this. Infant gets 8 vaccine doses at 6 months. Collapses with brain damage. This is, again, at talknetwork.com. So I'm tying all these together. After a month after Serenity, this little baby, received the DTaP, HIV, IPV, 5-in-1 combo, hepatitis B, pneumonococcal, the Prevnar 13, and the oral rotavirus vaccine, she suffered several major injuries and grew increasingly unwell. Prior to the 6-month vaccine mark, Serenity was a healthy baby with normal physical and cognitive development. This infuriates me, Dave. This saddens me. It makes me so angry. I for the life of me, I cannot understand why pediatricians are not putting these pieces together. But after receiving the 8 vaccine doses, she became fussy and lethargic. According to her mother, July Garza, a month later, the child's health took a sharp turn for the worse. The hospital medical team quickly pointed the finger at the Garzas before calling Child Protective Services. See, here we go. And accusing them of shaking their baby. The accusers eventually backed down from the accusation and apologized for vindicating the family of any misconduct. This is Robert Scott Bell, and there's a video on here, or an audio of Dr. Robert Scott Bell and Dr. Rashid Buttar, and they go into more detail on this. So you can listen to that from talknetwork.com. So this is all tied together. It's amazing how this is unfolding. And then we have another one from Fox News. 8-year-old dies of flu after receiving the vaccination. This is Health Net News again. The Center for Disease, see, everyone's putting out the same material, and it's coming together. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention admits a nasal spray, listen up folks, called Flumist. If you've ever heard of it, if your doctor is suggesting it, I would suggest you ask some questions about Flumist. The nasal spray called Flumist hasn't been effective for years, and the parents of an 8-year-old girl who died of the flu after receiving the immunization are speaking out. This is from a Fox News article. Although we believe she was protected from the flu, indeed she was not, said Mark Coyne of Park City. Her family said she was vaccinated with a nasal spray called Flumist this week. The CDC said that that way of immunization has been totally ineffective at preventing the flu this past year, and now they're asking doctors not to use it. But doctors told the Park City family that Flumist was the best option for their children. And my comment to this is, how about, see, this is part of the medical matrix of just turning our lives over to a doctor. How about a diet that boosts the immune system along with dozens of natural methods? I mean, heaven forbid the CDC actually educate people on natural protocols for flu season. We know the answer, and it begins with money, it ends with the word money. And back to the story, it's the most unimaginable thing you can think of. Your kid is healthy one day, and she's gone the next, said Michelle Coyne. Days after her 8th birthday, Mackenzie got sick. That's when things started going downhill really fast. She was diagnosed with influenza at the hospital as doctors tried to save her, but hours later she died. This is so heartbreaking. And I can't imagine the guilt of the parents. Oh, but anyway, we are amazed it took the CDC so long to admit this and wonder why they finally let the cat out of the bag, even when mainstream media said mainstream said they knew for years that this wasn't working. How many children have been harmed or died because of the CDC? I'd say those numbers are climbing by the day. More from the piece. The CDC is asking doctors now not to use Flumist at all, but as bureaucracy would have it, the Utah Department of Health has already bought 1,200 doses. So, by golly, they've got to get their money's worth. We have pre-ordered a bunch of vaccines. We're now looking at CDC guidelines to see what we're going to do with that order, said Rich Lakin, who is program manager for the immunization program at UDOH. Oh boy, since the CDC knows Flumist hasn't been effective for years, the Coyne family wants to know why they didn't have the information earlier. And you know, Dave, from everything that we've covered, there's no liability in this. This family just has to deal with this and grieve. And it's a travesty, and it's a crime, and I want to push this through and get this information out. I still know people who have no problem with vaccinations. All I can do is put the information out there.
Excuse me. The only thing I'd say is they have no problem with it because they haven't lost a kid. You know, when the shield laws do what you're saying, the politicians are bought off to pass these shield laws. So when these companies are at risk, they put these kids at risk, they don't have to own up to it because prosecution's difficult. Do you know the worst state in the country? And I could be wrong, and people correct me by email if I am. But from what I understand, the worst state in the country for medical shield, and I know my mother ran into this when she was treated horribly in the hospital. We looked into suing, and we couldn't do a thing, and they almost killed her. It's Colorado.
Really?
Are you surprised?
I am.
You are in the new capital of the New World Order for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised at all. And this happened, gosh, Katie, I'd say 12, 15 years ago in Colorado when people began to lose the right to hold medical professionals and their institutions accountable for their bad acts.
That is amazing. But,
I don't even recognize Colorado. I mean, as you know, we're coming back there to visit, but that's because we have relatives. But I have to tell you, it's no longer the state that I grew up in. It's embarrassing when I look at what Colorado has let happen to itself. And am I putting blame on the people? Yeah, just like I do America, putting the blame everywhere. I mean, you people let the Koch brothers move in. You let the Gang of Four take over. You let all these corruptions come in mm-hmm. under these people.
And you know,
what have you done about it? What have you done about it? Nothing.
It was a red state when I moved here 40 years ago. Cowboys and conservatives and everybody sort of let live, you know, just let everybody do their thing. And then over the years, I've watched this happen, and I think it happened in the 80s when everybody, all the big stars and the progressive moved from California out to Aspen and Boulder and all the, you know, they were attracted to the mountain life. And then things started to change. I don't recognize it either. And as Steve and you were talking, I was thinking, what am I doing here? maybe it's time to go.
Colorado, you know, they steal kids for standing mm-hmm. up for causes like Agenda 21, Stacey Lynn.
Right.
They can cause you to freeze to death in your home in the middle of winter like the city of Fort Collins tried to do to Virginia Farver and her husband. I could go on and on.
Yeah. But
Colorado is a cesspool. In fact, you want an analogy to Colorado in my mind? And you got to remember, this is the state I grew up in. My dad and I used to go to Bronco football games every year since, I think I was, 9 years old when they first came to Denver?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I have family there. I have longtime friends there, lifetime friends.
Yes.
But it's become a cesspool. It has. And now I see Arizona, where I kind of escaped to stay one step ahead of the burning bridge. It's going down the same path. I don't know who's worse, California, New York, Illinois, or Colorado.
Isn't that amazing? In Colorado, I never would have thought Colorado would have gone this way.
But you know the analogy, movie-wise? Go back to the first Hunger Games movie, and Colorado is capital city.
Ah, yes. Well, wasn't that projection? That was projectionism, wasn't it? They were telling us, because you were just talking about that in the last segment, is Colorado is going to be ground zero. So that was, they were projecting, letting the audience know.
Katie, are you seeing it the same way I am? I mean, maybe I'm going overboard here.
No. I see it. I've seen it for years. And it's hard for me because I have so many roots here to just, after 40 years, to just pick up and go somewhere else, but where to go? I mean, you can't go far enough away. So I don't have the answers to that, but I think Steve's right. It's all about prayer. Psalm 91, I am so there. Be quiet and listen. And that is my health report, Dave. That's what I have. I just want people to get these stories out and let people know what's going on. Share it. Share the information. So.
Well, we're having trouble connecting with Joseph Meyer, and surprise, surprise, his number is not working. And how do I know it should be his number? Because I talked to him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
On the same number.
Isn't that interesting? We have lots of news we can cover if he can't come on, but isn't that interesting?
Yeah, we do, but I want to get his reaction to Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
To Todd, our producer. Todd, that is the correct number. The only thing I can do is encourage you to keep trying. And it's not much encouragement here, but I'm looking at the two numbers here, and that is absolutely the correct number. It's also in my dial history from when I spoke with him yesterday, so I'd say let's keep trying. And Katie, let's go back to one thing while we try to connect with Joe Meyer. With regard to these doctors...
Oh, Dave, look on the comrades.
Isn't there any kind of body or organization that they belong to that should be coming forward?
I'm told, Dave, I'm told to tell you to look at comrades. Look at the comrades.
Okay, what's wrong? Is that better?
I don't know. I just have a message.
Okay, we'll go test 1, 2, 3. Okay, maybe we're going into meltdown. Well, at least they didn't get us when we had Steve on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, long story short here. there are governing bodies that maintain credentialing for these healthcare doctors.
Okay, he's got him.
Here's my question for you real quick, for mm-hmm. you, Joe.
Yep.
Why aren't these bodies speaking out?
Because they're part of the system.
Are they?
I would think
so. Are you
so.
Saying the people that credential naturopathic doctors are part of the system and they're not going to speak out when there's mass murder of their memberships?
I think everybody's on fear hold right now.
Okay, fair enough.
My opinion.
Looks like we do have Joseph Meyer, and I think you've got that information too, so let's test it. Joe Meyer, are you with us, sir?
Good evening, Dave. Thank you and the Common Sense Show for having me this evening. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience, Dave.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you, and we're sorry about the late connection. We had a little trouble making connection, but lest we be surprised. Anyway, I wanted to bring you on for a couple of reasons. One, you get to gloat a little bit, and I'm going to support the gloating because it's not gloating when you're right. When you were on the show a few weeks ago, you nailed it as far as what was coming. And then the second thing I'd like you to address is how you see the potential economic impact coming out of the Brexit vote, what we're in for, in your estimation.
Well, quite frankly, I wasn't surprised with the way the vote turned out, certainly in the Brexit. And, you know, I thought that we would see what eventually was going to take place and be historic. I think when you talk about what has happened, you know, people lose sight of the reasoning behind why Britain wanted to leave the EU. And there were four things that I think determined the outcome of the vote. I think Britain wanted to be in control of, number one, their country, number two, their money, number three, their borders, and lastly, and very importantly, their own immigration policies. So I think when you talk about history being made, as, you know, I've alluded to many times in the newsletter, no state, as you know, has ever left the EU before. So this has to go down in history as the greatest disaster in the 59-year history of the EU, which, you know, Dave, was formed in 1957.
Yeah, what was it called then? I was trying to, was that had something to do with coal in its name? What was the title of the EU at that time?
I believe it was.
The coal something or other agreement, it sounded nothing like the EU, but it was a conglomeration, I think, of about 10 nations that came together on certain economic issues, and it grew from there. And now they're talking about five more countries, including the Scots, which say they're going to have a second vote, that they want to leave the EU. What do you make of all this?
Well, I'm not surprised. I think we're going to see other members want to leave. It could be Italy, Spain, Portugal, could be Scotland. But I think when we talk about Britain now voting to leave the EU, as you know, they've been a member since 1973, 43 years. So again, this is historic. I think it's going to have tremendous ramifications as we move forward. And as I've said many times, the economic sands globally are shifting under our feet as we speak.
And what do you think they're going to shift into?
Well, I think we're going to see, number one, a long-term reset of all global economies and currencies. I think the central banks of the world are now going to attempt to halt the decline in a concerted intervention. But I think, more importantly, people have to realize gold is the only currency without a central bank. So I think the problems as we move forward with what has taken place recently with the Brexit vote, we're looking at financial, economic, political, and also very serious geopolitical ramifications as well. But the Brexit vote, I believe, in my humble opinion, Dave, has now set in motion the disintegration of a bloc of countries. There's no turning back for the EU. Again, I think history is being made here. I think a lot of people are unaware of the real implications as we move forward.
Well, why did this start in Britain and say not Germany or some other European nation?
Well, you know, I've given that some thought since the vote has taken place, but I think the fuse was really lit with what has taken place now in the European Union about a year ago with the announced candidacy of Donald Trump for president. And I think he started a movement which has crossed the Atlantic and has taken hold now in Europe. And where we go from here, no one can say, but we're never going back to business as usual, and I think that's the situation most people at this point are unable to grasp.
Do you think that the, as we like to call them, the global elite are in a panic as it's being portrayed in the independent media?
Well, I think they're in a panic because this was something they never thought could happen, and this could be the start of something that could really get out of control. You know, the European economies have been in trouble, as I'm sure you'll agree, for a number of years, and we're going to see, again, I believe, a very pronounced economic slowdown and a very vicious bear market here in the U.S. The question is, if it hasn't already unfolded, when will it? But I think the risk in these markets is now excessive, and as I said in the last show we did together, and more importantly, what I had written in the June issue of the newsletter, I just think the upside potential is very limited, and the downside risk in these markets is extremely great, Dave.
Well, what did we have, what was the drop, 651? Was that the drop?
Well, we had about a 4% decline in the Dow. We fell 610 points to 17,400, and we fell about 3.5% or 75 points in the S&P to 2037. And we had equally about a 4% decline in the NASDAQ. We fell 202 points to 4707. But I think in the near term, this market has the potential to move substantially lower. As you know, I spoke to the recent 52-week lows that we saw about a year ago in the averages. And if you go back and you look at those figures, in the Dow was about 15,370, which would be a little over 2,000 points lower from where we closed on Friday. In the S&P at 1810, we'd have to fall about another 227 points in the S&P, which is a huge move. And in NASDAQ, the lows of a year ago were around 4,200, so we'd have to fall almost 500 points from where we closed on Friday. So anyone that thinks this decline is over, I think, is going to be very, very surprised as to this market accelerating and moving a lot lower over the near term, Dave.
Let me ask, let's just do a little speculating, and I know that's an inexact science, but let's assume that five more nations step up in the EU, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Scotland, maybe one other, and they begin to initiate their version of Brexit. Even before it comes to a vote, could we expect to see a precipitous drop in the markets?
Oh, I think the markets are certainly ripe for that. I think this has been a very long in the tooth bull market, as I've said many times, and I think it's been ready for a correction for quite a while. And I think this Brexit vote was the catalyst to bring the correction, which was long overdue. And I think a lot of people are very concerned as to what we do now. And I think the greatest risk in this market here, if we enter the bear market that I think is certainly ahead of us, is going to be the erosion of pension funds and IRA accounts. You know, in the retirement assets that we have, certainly in the U.S., they totaled about $23 trillion. But more importantly, little IRA accounts make up $7.3 trillion of that total. So if this bear market unfolds, and I believe that we're probably in the early stages of it, this bear market could last for many years, ushering in my humble opinion, the worst bear market we've seen since the 1930s.
And our people aren't ready to handle what happened in the 30s. The people in the 30s, would you agree with this statement, were a lot more self-sufficient and could weather the storm better than the most of the people today?
Much different generation, much different time, Dave.
Much different psychology, much different skill set.
Absolutely.
I mean, let me give you one example. It was a common skill in my grandmother and my great-grandmother's generation to be able to can food. Today, I know almost no one that can can food.
They wouldn't know how to begin.
No, you're right. But I'm just using this, and I know that's kind of we're off the beaten path here as far as economics, but I just think it goes to show that if
they
the
had
drop
basic
happens
survival
as you're
skills.
Yeah, exactly. If the drop happens as you're saying, these people aren't going to know how to respond, and we're going to see violence. Well, let me throw another aspect of violence at you. I've always liked to say that when bankers don't get their way, a war is on the horizon. Do you see that happening here? Is this in your crystal ball?
Well, you know, we've been at war all through my lifetime because I was part of Vietnam in the late 1960s. So as someone who has seen what war is about and certainly what is involved, I'm hopeful that we don't go down that path. Quite frankly, I think the country is tired of war, and I think, quite frankly, the military is literally worn out. I don't know if you share that sentiment, but that's the way I see it.
Well, yeah, what is it? How long have we been in Afghanistan? But you're right. That'll wear out the military. It'll wear out the people. But it may not be the people's choice. This could be done at the highest levels.
Well, I think it may be the people's choice because I don't think this time around they're going to support any conflicts unless it's a direct threat to the sovereignty of the United States itself. I may be wrong in that assumption, but I just think the nation is tired and worn out from these wars that are literally continued almost indefinitely.
Aren't the bankers just about out of options, though, to keep this afloat? This meaning the economy?
Well, you know, when you look at fiat currencies all through history, you know, no fiat currency has stood the test of time. And I have to believe that the dollar at some point will go the same way as every other fiat currency before it. We're going to go through tough times. They're long overdue. They have to happen. We've got to cleanse the system. We've got to start over. You know, we've kicked the can down the road, Dave, about as far as it can go. It can't go any further. Now we've got to make some tough choices and good decisions on where we go from here. This is why I'm always proud of the things you talk about in your show, which basically come down to preparation and what we should be doing and how best we should go about it. People need to have a plan, and you've stressed this many, many times in the shows that you've done. Most people will tell you they have a plan, but you know, Dave, when you question them as to what the plan is, they can't tell you. And they can't tell you simply because they don't have one, but in their mind they believe that when they need one, one will suddenly appear. And what people don't understand, when this thing unravels and we start down, you're not going to get any warning. You're going to turn on the TV one day and this thing is going to be chaotic and these markets are going to be falling, and if you don't have a plan, it's going to be too late. That's the way I see this thing unfolding. Not a gradual slide, but just a sudden collapse.
Well, I think most people, if they haven't started planning by now, they're simply
going
to stay
one
step ahead of the burning bridge. I want to ask you something specific, and I know we've touched on this before, but we do have new listeners. What advice would you give to people whose retirement is locked up in 401ks? Where would you be telling them to put their money?
Well, I don't give advice on these issues, as you know, but I do think everyone's situation is unique and different, and everyone needs to certainly make good decisions to protect certainly what they have in their retirement. I think it goes without saying, you know, the bull market has gone on now for several years. We've seen a tripling in the averages over the period of 7 years, and if we go back historically and we make a comparison to the other bull markets we've had, through history, the only other longer bull market would have to be the bull market of the 20s, which started in 1921, as I'm sure you know, and ended in the historic crash in September of 1929. So that bull market lasted about a year longer than currently, you know, what we have witnessed so far in this bull market here. But I do believe the viciousness of this bear market, when it unfolds, will be every bit as bad as what we saw in 73, 74, and 81, 82. you know, this market is so overvalued, I don't think that it would be unrealistic to believe this market could be cut in half and or lose 50% of its value.
Whoa. That's steep. Do you think the elite are going to move, or let's put it this way, increase their precious metals portfolio as a result of the Brexit vote?
Well, I think they're doing that as we speak. I think when you look at how strong gold had traded on Friday, at one point we had it up about $100 an ounce at the peak, but it closed off of those highs. But when I checked Europe and it opened up earlier this evening, we had gold 1335. So I think the next stop in gold, certainly if we can get over 1350, Dave, would be around 1420. So I think the lows in the precious metals are behind us. I think the elites in the central banks of the world are now very, very positive on gold, and I think they're using any opportunity in which to continue to buy.
You know, I covered a story, gosh, and Joe, I don't remember if it was 2014 or 2013, I think it was 14, in which Goldman Sachs was telling its brokers to tell people to sell short, and that was to put more gold on the market at a cheaper price so the elite could buy it up. Do you recall that?
I recall that, and you know, it was a situation that should have never happened, but it did. But to go one step further, as we've said many times, there's very little physical gold and silver in the market for sale, Dave. Very little physical. And it's getting increasingly difficult to buy any quantity of gold and silver. The market is tightening. Gold and silver is now in very strong hands, and I believe it will remain so. And, you know, anytime you can buy gold and silver and you can buy it and certainly, you know, take possession and put it away, it's probably going to be one of the most important things you can do to take care of yourself and your family.
Yeah, I agree. Well, when the market, or if the market bottoms out to half of where it's at now, what will this do to the price of food in the supermarkets? Will we see a little bit of increase, or will we see the kind of hyperinflation that's going on in Venezuela?
Well, I think at some point we're going to see inflation. Hopefully it doesn't become hyperinflation. But, you know, we've pumped so much money into the system, but it's failed to work its way down to mainstream America. You know, the central banks are going to attempt to halt this decline. They're going to pump probably unprecedented liquidity into the markets and attempt to support them so this market doesn't literally go down in a straight line into the presidential elections coming up in November. But I think when you take a look at the way things are changing now rapidly globally, what's taking place in Venezuela, what we've recently seen now in Britain, we're going to have some more surprises and some more shocks before we come into the presidential election. That's why I don't think most people should be taking the risk, certainly in these equity markets that they represent at these levels. You know, people have been caught up in a rising market over several years, and the mentality has been to buy the dips. I think the mentality has to be now, quite frankly, you sell the rallies and you raise cash and you get to the sidelines.
Wow. That's an amazing statement, Joe, especially for someone who's been in and around the market as long as you have.
It is.
Oh, it's incredible. It'd be like LeBron James saying, don't vote on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I've been there, and I've seen prior cycles. I've seen economic contractions. I've seen economic expansions. And as I've said many times, I write from a perspective in the newsletter, not from what I've read in books and in history. I write from the perspective of the times and the markets I've actually lived in and been part of. Got into markets 1966, Dave, as you know, went up on the street as a Wall Street professional. 1972, I was 25 years old. I'm going to be 70. I've been there and done it and seen it all. That's why this newsletter is so important. You know, we don't sell products. I just sell my knowledge, my wisdom, and my experience. And you know my track record as well as anybody. You've been getting the newsletter and reading it on a regular basis.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's why I was had the wisdom to call you about this. Well, let's take just a moment here, Joe, and let's talk about your newsletter and how people can get
it. Okay. I'm in the process of starting to draft out the September 2016 issue of the newsletter. It's a quarterly newsletter, as you know. I write about the economy. I write about the stock and bond markets, the precious metals, both gold and silver, the energy sector, both crude oil and natural gas. And we have in every issue of the newsletter a pretty extensive commentary on Fed monetary policy. The yearly subscription to the newsletter is normally $259.95, the six-month subscription $149.95, and out of respect to you and what you do on the Common Sense Show, we offer your listeners a full one-year subscription at the six-month subscription price. Save them $110 over the one-year full subscription.
That's very generous, and we appreciate that. And again, one more time, where can people go to get the newsletter and sign up for it?
Go to straightmoneyanalysis.com. We have a website. We have a PayPal terminal. Click on newsletter. There's a full sample newsletter people can download and read, and this will give them an idea of the formatting of the letter and my styling and as to how I write about the things that I believe are truly important.
Yeah, it's. I tell you, it's made me make some decisions I might not have otherwise made. I'm saying it being the newsletter that you so graciously make available to me. One of the things that I want to bring up here, and I know this is speculation, but I am really, really concerned. When
okay.
I covered the Ukraine crisis, I learned at that time just how much of the natural gas that Russia controls into places like France and Germany and some of the Eastern European nations. Exactly. And here's my concern. As the Brexit phenomenon spreads, could you see Putin begin to take advantage of the fractures and begin to blackmail nations to get out of NATO and come join Russia?
Wouldn't surprise me, Dave, not in the least. I don't think you can rule out anything. The way things are unfolding now, you can't rule out a single thing.
Yeah, what is it, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's staggering. It's something like Russia controls like 37% of Germany's energy industry.
Yes, they do.
In one form or another. And I know I'm close. It's like 36, 37%. I remember thinking it was over a third. And I go, my God, they blackmail Germany overnight.
Cut off the gas to the Ukraine because they didn't pay their bills.
Yeah, well, from a defense perspective, this economic phenomenon known as Brexit and spreads, and Russia takes advantage of it through their energy influences in Europe. This could end up causing America to really almost be alone.
We could
be isolated.
I think when you look at the ramifications of what this Brexit vote truly means, we're not really going to feel, I think, the total impact for 5 or 10 years. I think the unfolding of events from this are going to unfold over the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to be a long, drawn out, painful transition day. This is not going to be easy. Make no mistake about it.
If I knew a way and had a way to invest in Russian natural gas, I would. That's how strongly I feel about it from the research I've done. And I think
they're one of the largest natural gas suppliers in the world. They have the largest natural gas supplies in the world, and they're going to control the price, and they're certainly going to control who they sell to and under what circumstances. Russia is, as I'm sure you'll agree, is a much different nation than they were going back even a decade ago.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But Putin, I did a podcast, a five-minute podcast, where I said Putin is the leader for Russia that America wishes it had. And I believe that. But let me throw one more thing at you. It
sure.
was also during the Ukraine crisis or thereabout that Russia inked the largest energy deal in the history of the world with China.
Yes, they did.
And
they're going to be providing natural gas to China as well, and crude oil, and China is basically buying that crude oil and natural gas with gold.
Well, it meant a number of things to me. Number one, that our energy industries here in this country could be in a great deal of difficulty because I don't think we can compete on that level, and I want to get your opinion on that. But the other thing it concerned me was you need energy to fight a war. And Russia and China are now married at the hip, so they're going to be together, I think, in any military action of potential World War III. Can you address those concerns I have?
Well, you know, if you go back and you study history, as I'm sure you know, World War II was fought over cutting off oil in Japan.
Absolutely.
That was the catalyst which got us into World War II. We cut off the oil supply to Japan. So when you talk about energy being a catalyst for world wars and conflict, there's history that tells us that it's already taken place. We're living in a dangerous time. We're living in a world now where anything can happen at any time for any reason. I don't think there's any way any of us can count on, you know, where we'll be, what we'll be doing, or what kind of world we'll be living in 6 months or a year from now.
True. I could not agree with that statement anymore. The only thing certain about our lives today is the uncertainty of our lives today. And this is why, you know, I put my faith in other places besides money and what I own. Joe, any parting words of wisdom for the listening audience?
Well, I think the global economy is in transition. I think we're in the early phases of what's going to take a number of years to play out. These markets are not going to move in a straight line, either up or down, but I do think we're going to see significantly lower stock and bond prices. We're going to see significantly higher gold and silver and crude oil and natural gas prices, and I think people have to take whatever precautions they deem necessary to protect their assets and certainly prepare for the inevitable, which I don't think bodes well for what I think is coming down the pathway. But if you don't have a plan, there's still time in which to put one in place, and I can't stress importantly enough that you've got to take certainly responsibility for yourself and your family and the things you can do to certainly protect them and take care of what's important so that you can move on, certainly when we see some better days.
Amazing. I mean, it's incredible to me. You're saying it in different terminology, but we had Steve Quayle on the first 2 hours, and you two sound like you just read from the same book, but different vocabulary. Yeah, it's incredible. But when you have this many great minds saying the same thing the same way, and their approach is a little different, but effectively they're telling you, hey, this is how it is. When 100 people tell you you're drunk, you might want to sit down, and that's kind of my takeaway. Joseph, we're out of time, but listen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on here on such late notice and providing our listeners with these great pearls of wisdom. StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, the newsletter is half price for Common Sense Show listeners. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to having you back.
Dave, I want to thank you. You've been a great friend and supporter of the newsletter, and I want you to know I'm here for you and your listening audience anytime you'd like to have me as your guest.
We certainly do know that. Anyway, we are out of here. Thanks, Joe. Folks, we'll be back next week, and we will have Doug Hagman as our guest. Another heavy hitter with another heavyweight analysis. And there we go. I wasn't hearing the music. Now I'm hearing that wonderful music. Anyway, we're thinking about changing out the back tune. You know, let me know what you think. Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. Katie, great job as always. Thanks to Steve Quayle. And we will see you back here next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless.